Ever feel you're the only one? I want to talk to you on this edition of Key Life.
That's Steve Brown, and this is Key Life. He doesn't think of himself as super spiritual, but he is honest. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach it, to apply it to daily living. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to 1 Kings. We are doing an Old Testament survey. We're going through each of the books of the Older Testament, and we're introducing, giving some exegetical notes, some handles, some major themes, and then I become a tour director and lift up some of my favorite passages in the book. We've looked at 1 Kings this week, 19:1 through 4. That's Jezebel going after Elijah, who's scared. By the way, the only person who says they're never afraid because God gives courage are the people who lie about other things, and you don't want to buy a used car from. Elijah was scared. We saw a principle. Some people are never so dangerous as they are the day after defeat. Some people are never so vulnerable as they are the day after victory. And then we looked at 1 Kings 19:5 through 7. We're in the middle of his spiritual depression and his psychological depression. God did not tell Elijah to read the Bible. Didn't tell him to pray. Told him to eat and get some sleep. Now, there are some people who get so obsessive about their depression that they don't do the stuff that God tells them to do. Yeah, you say they're not praying, man. They need to go into a season of prayer. Well, maybe, but maybe not. Maybe they just need to have a good meal and get a good night's sleep. Don't forget the body. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Just as an aside, every banquet I've ever spoken at, God, because he has this funny sense of humor, always puts me beside some health nut. Now, can we talk? You know the only good thing at a banquet? You know it's true. I mean, they've been passing that chicken around for a long time. The only good thing is the pie. I mean, sometimes they have really good desserts. You know that. Christians, you pagans don't understand that because you put on a good feed sometimes. But mostly, Christians, you get, boy, am I going to get letters. But you know, the pie is usually good. Now, I'm not talking to the covered dish dinners. Those are fine. Pagans can't even come close to those. But I'm talking about the banquets. You know, we do it. But the pie. And God, with this sense of humor, always puts me beside some health food nut who says, just when I've gotten through the chicken, barely, Dr. Brown, you're not going to eat that, are you? I think. Don't do this to me, Lord. I've been looking at that pie for the last 40 minutes, and it's the only thing that makes this banquet worthwhile. And you know something? I generally say, yeah, and if you don't want yours, I'll eat yours too. And let me tell you something, just so you know, and it's an illustration of this principle. After I eat it, I feel really good. And generally, if I get two pieces of pie, the teaching I do from God's Word is far better than it would have been before. In other words, when you're down sometimes, do the things. Don't be so obsessive about it. Now look at let's stay in 19. 1 Kings 19:9 through 10. And there we're still talking about Elijah, came to a cave. And he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. Now, this could have been a Christophany, by the way. This could have been Jesus coming to Elijah. I have a friend, John Neff, who is doing in his own personal study, a study of all the possible Christophanies in the Older Testament. You say, wait, what's a Christophany? That's the place where Jesus comes in disguise in the Old Testament. There's some obvious ones, the king of Salem with... There's some obvious ones, but there's some that aren't so obvious, and this may be one of them. I don't know. Maybe not. But anyway, the word of the Lord, what does John say in John 1? And the word became flesh. And what is the word that became flesh? It was Jesus. What are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I'm the only one left. And they seek my life to take it away. You ever feel like you're the only one left? That's arrogant. Boy, I felt that way. I can remember that when I thought I was the only servant of God in America taught to teach grace, that God wasn't angry at his people. You know what God said to me? He laughed, and then he blushed. Let me tell you something. God has his people everywhere, and Elijah was not the only one left. I could give you, and then I want to get to some questions, so I'm not going to spend much time with it, but I'll give you 1,000 examples of that. One of my heroes in the 4th century was Athanasius. Now, you don't need to know all of this, but that was over the famous Arian controversy. It had to do with the nature of Christ, and they had this big fight over it. Let me tell you something. Athanasius, in the 4th century, he was the Bishop of Alexandria. If they ever ask you that on a quiz show or anything, and you win any money, send 10% to King Life. And did you know that he loved his people? His people loved him. 5 times he was sent into exile. There were times when he was losing the battle. And when Athanasius thought, Lord, I'm the only one standing for you here. Do you know what God did when Athanasius did that? He laughed. Because Athanasius had his brothers who were standing with him, and you do too. And so did Elijah. We'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow, but don't forget the family. You think about that. Amen. It's my practice on Wednesday to take some time to answer your questions. My pastor, Pete, will be in on Friday, and we spend the entire broadcast on Friday answering questions. And we love to get your questions, but you got to write them down. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email them to steve@keylife.org, but be sure and give us your regular mailing address if you want an answer. You always get an answer from me or a staff person or on the broadcast or in the Key Life magazine. And listen, don't use the 1-800 number to ask questions. Well, you can ask them. You just won't get any answers. You can make a contribution. You can become a part of Key Life Tapes free, get the pamphlets free, or get Christianity Today free. But you got to write out the questions. Enough. By the way, do check out our website. If you've got a computer, go to keylife.org. You can learn a whole lot about Key Life. You can get ministered to. You can listen to this broadcast. The previous 30 broadcasts are archived there. Think spots are, I mean, there's just so much good stuff there. And if you haven't checked it out recently, it's keylife.org. And listen, sure would appreciate your prayers. We have our Key Life Lake Barkley Fellowship that we do every year. It's in Cadiz, Kentucky, and that's March 23rd through 25th. God is going to do some really good stuff there. And so do remember that time in your prayers, if you would. Let's get to some of these questions. This is an email. What are some facts to effectively disprove some of Jehovah's Witnesses' beliefs? I don't know. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what to do. Go down to the Christian bookstore, and you'll find a whole shelf devoted to nothing but this particular subject. I could tell you a lot of stuff that Walter Martin taught me about this, and there are things that you can say. And you can win the argument, I want you to know that. But I want you to know something else. You can win an argument and lose a soul. I think maybe I told you about these two young men from Jehovah's Witnesses that came to my my house the other day. I was closing the garage, and there was a young one and an old one, and I loved them. I mean, they just seem like, and they are. I admire that kind of commitment. And he came and said, could we talk to you for a moment? I said, nah, you really don't want to. He said, why is that? And I said, because I'll eat your lunch. I said, most of the people you visit don't know what they're talking about, and I do, and so I'm doing you a favor. I don't have time, and you don't want to talk to me. Trust me on this. Young man said, we do. We want to talk to you. And the older guy was saying, son, come on. I think this man is right. You know, you can go to where he says, God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And then you can go, if you're going to show the divinity of Christ, you can go to the book of Revelation where Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And then you can say, how many Alphas are there and how many Omegas are there? There's only one first and only one last, and God says he is and Jesus says he is, therefore Jesus is God. And you say, well, there are a lot of better verses. I know, but they know all those verses. But listen to me. Don't do that. I mean, you ought to know your stuff if you're going to do much talking. But let me tell you what. Tell them that Jesus loves you without condition. Just say, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. I am a sinner, and I'm doing my best, but I mess it up, and he's not angry at me. And he's going to get me home to heaven. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Let me tell you something. It is the testimony to God's grace, salvation by faith in Christ alone, that makes the difference in those kinds of visits. And by the way, it makes the difference almost every other place too, so not just in this place. And don't demonize Jehovah's Witnesses. They're scared just like you're scared. They don't know everything just like you don't know everything. They're wrong in some very significant places, but you're wrong some too. So talk, but then tell them about Jesus and his unconditional grace and see what you do about it. This is from Washington. How does one determine a bad church from a good church? We get this question a lot. I used to say you got to find a church where Christ is exalted and where the scriptures are taught. And Calvin had some things about what is a true church and what isn't, and I agree with those. But just for our purposes here, look for a church where Jesus is exalted and where the scriptures are faithfully taught. I used to just say that and then go on to the next question, but let me add one other thing to that, because I think this is very important. Find a church where the scriptures are taught, where Jesus is exalted, and where people love each other. I mean, there are a lot of people who teach doctrine, talk about Christology, and they become serial killers. I mean, if for God, of course. So don't. When you find that, something isn't happening right. And I got this from Francis Schaeffer, by the way. So those are the three things you look for. Scriptures are faithfully taught, Christ is exalted, and people love each other. Guys, I'm done. I'm out of here. Whenever your writer called, would you give us the call letters of this great station? A lot of great folks make this program possible. And, oh yes, Key Life is a production of Key Life Networks.